Com.
That's the president talking to his daughter, saying, "I did it." Part two, the Prez renews his promise to America as he is officially sworn in or takes the oath of office privately on Sunday. There's a big shindig on Monday. It happens to coincide with Martin Luther King Day. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Welcome to the show. Boy, do we have a lot to chew on, including who's headed to the Super Bowl. Now we know it's the Harbaugh bash. Can you imagine being Mr. and Mrs. Harbaugh? You got your two sons going up against each other. One's the coach of the Ravens, one's the coach of San Francisco. So the Ravens beat the Patriots to win the AFC Championship game. They're going to face San Francisco in a do-or-die duel, if you will, on February 3rd. And the 49ers took care of business. They took care of Atlanta. So Atlanta, who had had a couple of really big comebacks on the road to the Super Bowl, could not overcome, and in the end, it was the 49ers. I know they are partying big time in San Francisco, and down by the waterfront, I hear it's pretty crazy in Baltimore, too. So there's a lot of reaction. What could have potentially been the last game for Ray Lewis now is a huge monster game for the Ravens player, legendary Lewis, who stars in the final show on the Super Bowl, the world's biggest stage. So, did we have a winner for Nail the Score? And we will have a Super Bowl Nail the Score, by the way. I'm not so sure about the Pro Bowl. I'll have to chew on that one. We'll let you know at the end of the hour if anybody nailed the score. I can tell you Matt didn't, and I didn't. So, yeah.
We got the teams right, though.
We did get the teams right. We did. You know, I said San Francisco 27-21. You said San Francisco 27-23. The Ravens, we both said the Ravens. I said Ravens 35-27, and you said Ravens 38-33.
So we weren't too far off.
No.
So
actually, pretty close.
In compared to the other weeks, this was a pretty solid weekend for us.
Yeah, it was. It was.
We nailed the teams, and we got somewhat close on the score.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's huge. It's huge for Jersey boy Joe Flacco, you know, the quarterback for the Ravens, Ray Rice, the kid that I like, the running back from Rutgers. He had a really good game and a tough loss for the opponents, though. New England, so not used to losing. Last year they lose in the Super Bowl. Here they are on the verge of possibly, and everybody figured it, too. It's so hard to get by New England. They had never lost at home in this kind of a situation and for a very, very long time. Bill Belichick, it seems like he has everyone's number, and Tom Brady. And Tom Brady found Wes Welker for a short TD, but in the end, when they needed it, the Patriots had the lead, a 13-7 lead at halftime, but the third quarter, fourth quarter especially, a much, much different story. So we will definitely be diving into that at the tail end of this hour on America Tonight. But let me set up some of the other things that are happening. You heard a little bit there about Obama, part two, the inauguration, certainly nothing like 2008, where everybody, it seemed like, was crowded into the mall, at least certainly the Obama supporters. And it was a historic moment for the president, for the nation, et cetera, you know. But this time around, a little bit different. Always in a part two, it's different. Obama ended the oath with a "so help me God," boom, "so help me God," because some people were wondering about that. There were some other things that were kind of interesting heading into this. And, you know, I am the poll princess. So what are the polls telling us for what they're worth if we read the tea leaves? Do we all agree we live in a divided country? Let's see. I have my special infrared glasses on, so as I look around the country at people listening to America Tonight, I can clearly see that, yes, the CNN poll says we are a country split on how things are going. 49% of the people questioned in the CNN ORC International survey that was just released on Sunday say things are going, very or fairly well. 51 say things are going pretty badly or very badly. What's the difference between pretty badly and very badly, by the way? Interesting. So the 49% figure, by the way, is up 6 points from last November. It's more than double the 21% who said the country was in good, we were in good shape at the time of Obama's first inauguration in January of 2009. The CNN polling director, because, you know, you always wonder about the people pulling the strings behind the scenes in all these different polls. So the 49% figure that I mentioned was up. The CNN polling director says, you know, that's actually good news. The bad news is that no president has faced a public in this sour a mood at the start of his second term since they even started asking that question about 40 years ago. Let me give you an example. More than 6 in 10 said the country was doing well when Presidents Bill Clinton and Ronnie Reagan had their second inaugurations, with 58% feeling that way. Believe it or not, when President George W. Bush started his second term in 2005, for what it's worth. The big thing heading into the weekend, at least part of it and part of what we talked about, certainly on our last show, was Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong was going to do his interview with Oprah Winfrey, and, you know, the exclusivity of that was blown up all over the place because she has a network that nobody can find on the cable networks around the country. My brother was searching like he needed a magnifying glass. The OWN network, where is that? And he's a TV guy. He knows where to find everything, but he couldn't find it. Eventually, of course, he found it, as did many of you, and you watched at least maybe some snippets of Lance Armstrong. And then over the weekend, because I always say America Tonight is the buzz in the backyard, besides the football games, I think people were talking about Armstrong. And they were also talking about something that we're going to also kick around in our next segment, and that's guns, 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 because there was a Celebrate Gun Day, for lack of a better way to describe it, over the weekend, and there were shots that were fired at one of these gun shows. Bad timing for that, huh? That was in North Carolina. It was an accidental thing, but you can just imagine the field day some of the late-night guys are going to have with this on Monday. So we'll talk about really what the theory is behind that, the push now on gun control and gun advocacy, where we are, where we're headed. Because every single day now we have to take a pulse on this because it changes so rapidly. I mean, boom, blink, and something different has happened. And especially with states, because there's now a push in various states to tweak the laws in a couple of directions, either for more control or to open it up a little bit more. For example, Texas Governor Rick Perry, he was really pushing for guns on campuses, you know, have the teachers armed. And there's a renewed call for that in some cases, in some states, Texas just being just one of those. There's at least 5 others who want to do the same thing. So stay with us, and I'll meet you on the flip side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
The bottom line is that during the 10 years that the assault weapons ban was in effect, the use of those weapons in crimes went down a significant percentage. Every major person who has studied the Brady Law, which is the most significant gun safety law we've passed since in the last 20 years, has said it has reduced gun violence dramatically. Law enforcement is totally for the Brady Law. These laws are not perfect, and you'll always find certain exceptions, but they make a huge difference. I'm the author of a universal background check bill. I am talking to pro-gun Democrats, excuse me, and Republicans. And I think you're going to see, a very likelihood in the next week or two, a proposal that has broad support.
All right, Chuck Schumer, longtime senator from New York, talking about universal background checks, saying he's the one who's pushing this, and he's got pro-gun Democrats on board with this. So look for background check to be the biggest push on the Hill, even ahead of the assault weapons and that discussion. This is the one thing that Democrats feel like they can get through because there's support for the background checks, the universal type background checks, both in some of the Republican ranks and in some of the Democrat ranks. And believe me, there's others that are concerned about what kind of legislation this will be. What timing, though? As I said when we were going to turn the page, three people wounded in an accidental shooting at a North Carolina gun show. Gun Appreciation Day drew lots of people across the country in all the nooks and crannies where some of you hail from, and three people were wounded. What happened was this gun goes off at the Dixie, check out the name of this, the Dixie Gun and Knife Show. It's a quarterly event that draws thousands and thousands of people. It's in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm actually familiar with it. So a spokesperson says what happened was a 12-gauge shotgun, it just went off, just discharged while its owner unzipped the case for a cop to check it out at a security entrance. So there were two people that were hit by shotgun pellets. They had to be taken to a hospital, right? And then a local deputy sheriff had a slight hand injury, too. The shotgun's owner said he brought the weapon to the show to find a private buyer. Oh, there's so much bad timing in that, isn't there? So the show shut down early Saturday, reopened on Sunday, and will certainly, you can lock and load the kind of jokes that you'll hear on all of the late night comedians when they come out and do their monologues. I'm certain that they'll have something to say about that. And unfortunately, that wasn't the only place where this happened. A man accidentally shot himself in the hand while leaving a gun show in Indianapolis. And so here you have the one guy, he's pimping his gun, looking for someone to buy it, and then that happens. And then this 54-year-old was injured when he was leaving the show. What happened was he loaded his .45 semi-automatic when he was walking out. This name of the show is the Indy 1500 Gun and Knife Show, and it's at the state fairgrounds, also very, very big. And loaded weapons aren't allowed inside the show. So it was accidental. No charges are going to be filed. And luckily, he only accidentally shot himself and not somebody else. But that was just another one of the incidents in what was a very, very big day, or was billed as a pretty big day across the country. Now, I don't know if anyone listening went to any gun shows over the weekend, but if you did, if anybody listening to me in the great state of Illinois, Indiana, Texas, anywhere else, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, wherever you are, if you went to one, I want you to call me because there's kind of weird reports about how many people were actually at some of these shows. 855-266-5283. You know the numbers to jingle for America Tonight, but 855-266-KATE. Here's the skinny on the numbers that I got. Because you can easily take it from the turnstiles when people go in. But who's going to compile all those statistics? The statistics I heard, you know, it kind of varied from place to place, and it depended on if you're talking about a quarterly event like the one in North Carolina that usually has thousands of people that go, or it's something a little bit new, or it's something that's been around for a couple of years. It just kind of depended. But the number that I heard of all of the gun shows, if we were to take them all and line them up back to back, you know, next to each other, the amount of people that went to shows over the weekend would add up to 500,000 people. You think that's an accurate number, 500,000 people, or you think that's a little skewed? I'm just wondering if you think it's on target. Since we're talking about guns, we're talking about targets. Or do you think it's a little bit skewed? You know, the NRA claims that when you talk about gun shows, that guns are safe and the gun shows are very, very safe because people that are going, you know, they know what they're looking for, or they might pick up something they didn't know, be surprised they might find, and there are people that are familiar with guns and, you know, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, that logic didn't really work out too well in the two shows that I mentioned, North Carolina and Indiana, because in both cases you had people that had their own weapon, and unfortunately the weapon went off. Thank goodness, especially the North Carolina show, because there was a lot of people around. Thank goodness nobody was actually killed in that, because, you know, you had a couple people that were wounded. And you heard Chuck Schumer in the beginning, the universal background checks. And this is what's going to be part of the push heading into the week as we swing into a couple of last weeks in January and then go into February. A lot of the talk over legislation is, okay, how can we get some Democrats to get on board with this and get enough Republicans to do it? Because it's always going to be difficult in the House, but even the Senate, if you're talking about any kind of limitations with guns, even in the Senate, it's not necessarily a layup. If you're talking about universal background checks, this is the first hurdle for guys like Michael Bloomberg, who has nothing to do with the process in Washington, but certainly has friends and is pushing here. And for Biden and the task force and ultimately what the president said he'd like to see happen last week, to have any of this and not just be conversation, to have it run through the Senate, have it run through the House, probably the best chance is the universal background checks, because the fact that you have people who are actually pro-gun legislators who are saying, yeah, I can go for background checks. You know, and here's the thing, universal background checks. Now you're talking about standardized. And as a lot of people will say, well, we already have background checks. Frenchie says, for example, he just sends this in, we already have background checks in Minnesota. So there's going to be some opposition to the idea of doing that too. But I think guys like Chuck Schumer, especially if he's claiming that this is what he's pushed for a long time, they're going to have a better chance of trying to get that pushed through than any other things that have been mentioned, like the assault weapons ban. There's still some blowback on that. That, you know, what are you talking about? Forget about that. Didn't do anything. Limiting ammunition, all of that. Much, much tougher. And it may be tweaked and looks a little bit different, but I think that Schumer and, you know, maybe even Dianne Feinstein is talking about pushing for the assault weapons, but also throwing in on the background checks. So it may be broken up, probably. Do you think background checks, any kind of a universal system, do you think that would work? Would that help with part of the problems that we're seeing? You know, because then we're talking about the permitting process, and that affects everything. If there was legislation that passed, that would mean every state would be affected by it, because remember, federal law, of course, trumps state law. Isn't that the way it goes? If you have gone through this process, like our pal in Minnesota, do you think we don't really need this? You know, because look, we've got it. Minnesota's a perfect example. Why can't the states just implement that? You can send me an email on it, too. A lot of people filled up the mailbag with gun talk and, of course, what's happening with the Super Bowl and a few other things. Other things were thrown in there, too. But 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. On the flip side, how much would you pay for the Batmobile? Some random thoughts next.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Stuff here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. We started off talking about the president being sworn in. The official inauguration, I guess, happens on Monday. They're expecting about 500,000 people, a lot less than the first time around, which is pretty much always that way anytime you have a part two president. And then we were swinging into some gun conversation, because that, of course, was all the Sunday swirl. Any Sunday show that you flipped on, they're still talking about universal background checks, assault weapons bans, and that kind of thing, and whether or not states, some of the things that we're seeing across the states, are they going to really pass and go through, because they're talking about bans, and then there's other states that are talking about trying to arm teachers, so it's kind of a mixed bag out there. Our pal cop in New Jersey says, you know, in Jersey, they've got a 5% tax increase on ammunition. So, you know, that's part of the other thing, the runs on guns, the runs on ammunition, and gun stocks are through the roof, through the roof. Let's go out to Roland in New York. Hey, Roland, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hello, Katie. I thought I'd give you a call. You're very reasonable, and I was just wondering if I could make two statements, and I'm really wondering what you would think, what you think of these things. It seems like the news media seldom, if ever, highlights incidents incidents involving guns where crime was actually stopped or people's lives and homes and property were saved because they have guns. That seems, you know, suspicious. It seems like they're always highlighting incidents whereby crimes were committed with guns. And the other thing was, is it really necessary to tear down a building every time somebody gets knifed, stabbed, or somebody blows up a place or, you know, I mean, if we did that, there wouldn't be anything left of America. And I was just wondering what you thought of those two statements of mine. You're a very reasonable person, and I've listened to your program often, and I'm just wondering what you're thinking about those two things.
Roland, I'm glad you called us, and actually it's interesting that you say that because, you know, when you say I'm reasonable, you would be correct. I agree with you on tearing down the buildings. I went through a list, maybe it was last week, where things had been tweaked a little bit. For example, on the campus of Virginia, where, you know, remember where the incident happened with the gunman Cho, who was a student there and went in Virginia Tech and, of course, you know, killed, unfortunately, students that were in a classroom sitting ducks, if you will. And what they did was they just took apart a classroom and changed a few things around. They certainly didn't tear down everything in the wake of that. And they put up memorials in other places. So that was one of the, I think this is on the heels of Sandy Hook and whether or not they should tear down the elementary school and start over because it was just that horrific. Good point. I think the thing to do, and which is what I said, is I think you keep it because you show the kids that you're resilient and you go back. You go back to Columbine High School. You go back to Sandy Hook Elementary. And there is some kind of a memorial or something that you set up in other places. Maybe it's at the school. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But I agree. I don't believe I would tear it down. The other thing is you're right. When it comes to how many crimes are stopped by gun owners, often you do have to hunt for those kinds of stories. We know lately, and I've talked about this, and I, in fact, have had people on the show who have talked about things that they were able to do because they knew how to work, you know, how to be around a gun, work a gun, own a gun, clean a gun, all that kind of stuff. They had concealed and carry, and they were able to thwart an attack. I worked with a great guy, who was a sound engineer for me, who had somebody in his house, and he had a gun. And this was in Fort Worth, Texas. He had a gun, and he was able to get a jump on the guy who had broken into the house. He held him at gunpoint, called the cops. They came, arrested him, and sure enough, it was going to be one of those smash and grab kind of things. He said he was scared to death in one sense because he was in the house in his mind trying to, not knowing what, how many people were there and if they were armed or, you know, what was the case of the people that were in the house. Was it one? Was it two? Was it whatever? But regardless, it worked in his favor. And I just read a criminologist at Florida State University who wrote a book called Point Blank, Guns and Violence in America. And this is a book, I think, that sometimes will be thrown out in gun debates. And you know how many crimes are stopped by guns every year? Because people want to know that. You know, what about the accidental deaths? What about other things that happen in shooting deaths per year? And the current statistics I have is how many crimes are stopped by guns each year is anywhere from 800,000 to 2 million crimes. So that's the number that I have. That's the number that I have from Dr. Gary Kleck, who, as I said, is a criminologist at FSU. As far as accidental shooting deaths per year, that number's in the 17,000 range. How many guns are owned in America? That number is climbing because of the fact that, like I said, you got blowout gun sales where people are going in and they're picking up everything they can, especially anything that's semi-automatic, that kind of stuff. And at these shows, so stores, and then at these shows, they're reporting record numbers of people, too. So there you go. Remember, you can always slide me a note or call me like Roland, 855-266-5283. time to swing into those little tidbits I told you about, including Batman. Of the Batman theme. All right, so why are we playing the Batman theme? Because the Batmobile used in the 1960s Batman TV series sold for, check this out, $4.6 million at a collector car auction on Saturday. The guy who owned it was George Barris, and they sold it at this auction where they have, you know, incredible cars, collector car type things, in Scottsdale, Arizona. The final price includes a 10% sales commission. Oh, that's nice. $4.6 million, 10%. Whew. So the original Batmobile is pretty cool looking. But I can't believe it got that much. Wow. They said, you know, how much is this car built for in the first place? And they say bidders were so tightly packed around the Batmobile that they couldn't tell who was bidding when they were taking bids. But this is a piece of TV history. And movie cars have gone for pretty big prices. I know the Aston Martin DB5 that was in the James Bond movie sold for $4.6 million, and that was in 2010, and that was 1964. And that was a modified car. In the case of the Batmobile, I mean, that's just a singular creation. And you know, there's no duplicate there. I mean, this is the original, period, end of story. So, Matt, do you remember how much have you paid for cars? If you estimate all the cars you bought, what would you say?
The most I've paid for a car?
Yeah, the most you paid.
It's probably the most recent car I got, and that was about close to $6,000.
Did you get a used car, right?
I bought it from my dad.
That's the best kind to buy from the family.
It is, because right now I gave a large sum. When I sold my old car, I basically used that as my down payment on this car to give him, and now I'm making payments to my dad on it. But it's a family member, so it's a lot easier than having a car loan or making payments to a dealership, because it's interest free.
Yeah, the interest-free part is really, really good when you have a deal like that with a family member. Absolutely. I don't even know if I added up how much I've paid for cars. I don't know what it would be, but the most that I've paid would be in the 20s, somewhere in the 20s, because by the time you add up interest and everything else, you know, certainly nowhere near $4.6 million. Or the Shah of Iran's Plymouth XNR, that sold for $935,000, and there, of course, are others. The General Lee, as Black Dog 2000 points out to me, the General Lee, $1.2 million. And Black Dog also says, I paid $24,000 with interest. I think most of us, even if you're doing well, aren't we all looking for good deals? Who wants to pay? Talk about something that depreciates the second you drive it off the lot. Most cars, unless, you know, if you get a Mercedes, some people swear by BMWs, but here's the problem. You, for a BMW, you go for an oil change, a fortune. For any kind of foreign car, anything that you get done on that car, oh, it's like an arm and a leg. And I don't know, there's something about writing that big check for something that you shouldn't have to write it for. I know that at one point I had a Land Rover, and I'm telling you, anything they could nickel and dime you for, they made sure you were paying at least a dollar for that 10-cent part. It was crazy. 855-266-5283, final turn in a minute. We'll be right back.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey Water Filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising costs of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388. Or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Here on the whole car thing, if you had a spare $4.6 million, you could have bought the original Batman, but I don't know, you might have been outbidded, and who knows, it would have gone for even more than that. You certainly have to be a collector of cars to want the Batmobile. It would be a cool piece to have if you had that kind of money to blow. But for the rest of us mere mortals, talking about how much you pay for cars, there's something that I think bites most of us that we don't really, even if we're doing okay, do we really want to sink it too much money into a car? And the answer is no, we really don't want to do it. And you heard Matt's story about, isn't it great when you have a family member, well, especially when it's your parents, and you can cut a deal with them and you're not paying any of the interest on that. You have to be careful when you get into other family members, especially if you sell them the car and then something happens to it, and then you avoid them at Thanksgiving. You grab a piece of turkey and you run out the back door because the wheels came off of the crappy car that you sold them. That could be a pretty tricky thing, I would think. So, but I know a lot of you had some things to say about cars and what you paid for them. Like Big Jake sent me a quick email here, and he says, "Oh, Batmobile, man, that brings back serious memories. But I would never pay $4.6 million, even for a big collector's item, because number one, I would be afraid to have that anywhere near any of my friends, and where would you house that thing? But that's kind of a good point. That's why you have to be that big time collector, because you have to have the right digs for it. Otherwise, where are you putting this thing? You have to have like a 7-car garage, and there's your, you know, there's your play toy that you probably aren't really even driving around in. I have to give you the payoff here, because I mentioned at the top, the Ravens upset the Patriots. What was the final score? 28-13. They make the Super Bowl, and the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. They beat the Falcons 28-24. That was the more interesting game, I think, because it was just a little bit closer through the second half. It certainly, the Ravens and the Patriots game was close. It wasn't until later where there was the pull away by the Ravens thanks to a timely pick and a quick score and all of that. But the first game to set up the Harbaugh brothers meeting each other was interesting because you had Colin Kaepernick, who and Frank Gore, who were the key players on this in this chess match. And what a record comeback in the NFC Championship game. They overcome a 17-zip deficit, 17-zip to beat the Falcons, 28-24. And the 49ers are going to their – this is a great piece of history. The 49ers are going to their first Super Bowl since 1995. You know, it's been that long. Remember how dominant the San Francisco 49ers used to be? And if you think of the teams, the Super Bowl teams, you go to Joe Montana, who took the Niners to 4 Super Bowls, Steve Young, 5 Super Bowls. Now you have this quarterback who half the people can't pronounce his name, and here he is, and he gets to take them all the way. How crazy is that? And how exciting for 49er fans. You know, I know a lot of people that live in San Francisco who weren't 49er fans, and suddenly they are because they've caught the fever. They're excited about this. And now you got one Harbaugh that's in. You have Jim Harbaugh, who's the coach of the 49ers, waiting to see what's going to happen with his brother. Imagine that. He wins, and then he has to sit and wait and see what happens on the other side. So the AFC Championship game record, by the way, is 18 points when Indy rallied past New England in 2007. I always like to throw in that history. So that was a huge, huge comeback when they're down that much to come back. And for Atlanta, wow, I mean, how interesting is that? Because they probably got a little confident and thought they had locked the door. But you remember in the divisional playoffs, the Falcons blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, the Seahawks scoring the go-ahead touchdown with 31 seconds, but then Ryan, Matty Ice, with two long passes, he set up that field goal for the 30-28 victory. So they come up short of their second Super Bowl, and, you know, only the Braves are the, in Atlanta, are the city's only major sports champions, so that's got to sting for them. I mean, it's definitely got to sting for them. I mentioned Gore, 21 times, 90 yards, just tremendous, tremendous, tremendous win for the 49ers. And now it's all about the Harbaugh brothers, because on the other side of things, you had the Ravens, who people weren't really giving much cred to. People were thinking, you know, you look at the Patriots, and you look at their history, and if you went by history and you went by records and statistics and I always say that it's paralysis, over analysis gives you paralysis in sports, because you can take stats and you can crunch them all day long and people can spit numbers at you, but in the end it's got to be played. And John Harbaugh showed that. His Ravens, you know, they have a family reunion going on, because they reached their first Super Bowl in 12 years, 3 touchdown passes from Joe Flacco, and the defense, Ray Lewis, you know, and that made it pretty, pretty tough in the end for Tom Brady. There was one costly pick, and they just could not come back from that. The Patriots weren't able to do it. It was pretty insane. And you know, they were able to cap it off. So New England lost a home AFC title match for the first time in five games. Otherwise, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick would have been at their sixth Super Bowl. And they're 3-2 in Super Bowls, by the way. They lost their last two times in big games. So instead, it's the AFC champs, the Ravens, and the NFC champs, the 49ers, heading to the Big Easy. And, clearly, you know, a lot of the stories are going to be about two brothers. Think about this. How many guys listening to me, you have a brother, and you have a rivalry with them in anything? Well, you raise two sons who both become big-time NFL coaches. They almost met in the Super Bowl the last time around. This time, they're meeting in the Super Bowl. So what do you do? Does your wife sit on one side and cheer? And do you sit on the other side and cheer for the other son? And how tough is this for somebody? So they both get in, but only one of them can win. There's no way around that. Only one, it can be the closest game ever. It can come down to the wire. It could be an edge of your seat, incredible game. But in the end, only one guy, only one Harbaugh brother is going to hoist the Lombardi trophy. And the other one is going to be left, the odd man out, is going to be left feeling pretty depressed that they lost to their brother. And plus, how much information do these guys share in the off season? They must share some things. They're very, very close. So they probably know each other's habits a little bit. I mean, they don't know the inside of the playbook, I'm assuming, but they must know quite a bit about technique, because I think they've shared that probably, right? And the Ravens have had a rough time getting there. They had no bye, nothing. And, you know, if you look at the Super Bowl history, five of the last seven champions have had that same kind of road. There's something about being the underdog and having all that momentum heading into the February 3rd game, although we have that Pro Bowl nonsense in between. But there's something about a momentum that carries you into it. But, you know, you really can't say that San Francisco has had such a cakewalk either. So I think that's kind of, in one sense, I think it's kind of even. I have to mention this since we're in sports quickly here. Cardinals Hall of Famer Stan Musial dies at the age of 92. How interesting, too, that a famous Orioles manager, Earl Weaver, dead at 82. Two iconic names in the world of baseball. Remember, Stan Musial, the St. Louis Cardinals star, was one of the greatest players, a lot of people would say, in baseball history. He lived a very, very long, long life. He was surrounded by family members when he died. And Baseball Hall of Famer. Baseball Hall of Famer. Just like, man, Earl Weaver was incredible in his career as well. So two icons lost in one weekend.
Looking back on 2012, we ask ourselves, how did we ever survive from natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy? Our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. At eFoods Direct, we hear from customers every day that are fortunate enough to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. After Hurricane Sandy, Danny from New York City wrote, "Almost all of the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister and niece. It is better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. I can warn you, but I can't feed you." Heed the warnings and do what Alex has done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and build your food supply. It's the best tasting non-GMO long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoodsDirect.